Let us turn once more to the 73rd Psalm and the 17th verse. Verse 17, Psalm 73. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. You know, we've been speaking very much about things concerning, as enabled, a true religion. A little about the sanctuary of God, quite a lot about understanding the end of the wicked. We spoke about the temptations of a child of God in envying the foolish and prosperity of the world, of the wicked, and how this was made known by what we trust, a work of grace in the heart and the child of God, that this should not really be so. We spoke a little to the younger children here as enabled, and now this afternoon I want to look more for beginning at the sanctuary. Now, until I went. It says, until I went. Now, I don't believe in free will, as you well know. But I believe that the first time that one is brought into the sanctuary, and that doesn't necessarily mean just God's house, not necessarily. Doesn't necessarily just mean four walls, what we call a chapel or church. But to come right into the sanctuary is to not only be brought in, and I said brought, notice, not just come, brought by the power and will of God into where you sit, where you hear, where your ears are and heart is. Not only that, but to be brought in, as I would like to say, the inner sanctuary. To be brought in, I went into the sanctuary of God. Really and truly, it is where God dwells. And as we know, he is not confined to four walls. What a mercy. There are some in this day in which we live who think that they have got to come into a church or a chapel to pray. And that this great God being shut therein, that they might find peace and be nearer to God, and that they might be received by him. This is not so. But it is through God's mercy there are places rightly prepared and given for worship. Those places that are set up really and truly with the right motive to the honour and glory of God and for the benefit of his people. The place where poor weary souls can turn in, and the place where the Lord has been so merciful as to bring them in. Not that they come for their own will. Oh, I know, after being called by God's grace, we often come, as we might say, because of custom, and because it's the Sabbath, and sometimes in the week, because we say, well, I want to go there. But what about the first time? Because the first word in our text is until. And where there's a word like this, until, that's a kind of a turning point. It's a certain time. We can say various things. You say, until so-and-so, until. And that's where we hold up the fingers, you might say. We want to pause and stop and think, until. Yeah. Well, how does this word apply to us? Do we know a little what it means? Until. That is, in relation to God and our souls, until. Look at a few things concerning this word until. Speaking a little out of context, you might say. Never mind. Where were you until you were called by grace? I'm not short of words, I'm letting you think. Where were you until you were called by grace? Where were you until you heard his voice? Or you say, I've always gone to chapel. Alright? I'm not going to say there's not been signs of mercy, it is. But if you've been going to chapel all your life, you see, where would that get you if there wasn't such a word as until? You might have been going to chapel for 20 years, that's just a figure. But how far would you have got? Wherever would it have been any use to you, spiritually speaking, until you're brought in the inner sanctuary? Until the Lord met with you in your seat. Oh yes, it's a mercy to have a place of worship. A sanctuary. Now, what? And when you think of the sanctuary, what a wonderful word is it, a sanctuary. In the fullest sense, it is really to be shut in with God. To be shut in with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a mercy to be shut in with his people. It's a mercy to be shut in a place. A mercy as far as it goes. Especially if you've got a desire. But oh, what a great mercy when that place is a real sanctuary. And the real fullest meaning of this is a sanctuary is Christ himself. We may be so led as to love God's house, the seats and the building and the care of the building, and we do these things in love to the Lord. We say in love to the place, yes, because only because it's his place. Listen, you wouldn't go and spend a lot of effort in decorating a place that where the truth was not preached and error was preached. Say, for example, the Catholics, who say I shouldn't speak of denomination. Let's look at things right. You wouldn't go in and decorate a place with the Virgin Mary on this wall. You wouldn't go in and put effort into a place and love and care where there were those things were brought in that were not to decorate the place and make it look more attractive. We want to see the places kept with loving care, and rightly so it should be. But the main object is that it should be such a, and the love is because it's a sanctuary, because that is where the Lord meets with you. That's the purpose. Until. Now, I've got away from the word until, but a few words on this sanctuary. Until you're brought in, as though it says, I went in to the sanctuary. I said, perhaps not reasonably, I don't just where. We don't always know when the work of grace was begun. It's a mercy to have it begun. Same as a new birth, all the same, all in one, these things. But You see, when were we brought in for the first time? Now listen, perhaps going for 20 years. And until I went into the sanctuary. Now we might say, until I went into chapel, I've been going in chapel for 20 years, one might say. But when this word until is made significant, remember this. The heart, we're on about the heart this morning, the heart is still the same. You may have a head for the word of God. You may have a head and ears to be able to hear and understand the preaching of the word. You may have a head that is well capable of detecting the smallest error as regards the doctrines of election, free and sovereign grace. But what about the heart? You can have those things and be as cold as ice when it comes to love. Oh yes. You know, regard this sanctuary and being brought in to the Lord in it, and the Lord coming to you in it. You see, when the Lord pours in to a stony heart a little of his love, oh, what a difference this makes. What is the good of you here or any other place, not being personal, assembling again and again and again, and the time is going on and you're all older and some really getting on, if there's no love in the sanctuary? Love to the Lord first, love to his people, love to the church of Christ, and I was going to say last, love to the place where you assemble. Where there's a love that flows from the pulpit to the pew, not cold, hard doctrinal preaching. Where there's a flowing. Now what would be the use? It would be like a religious idol, wouldn't it? Very solemn. So let us for a moment, now I'm on this, and got started, I want to see it through. Let us consider the sanctuary. Now you may think that it is not my place to come here and say anything about your sanctuary here. You have no pastor. That is, it could well be the Lord's will at the present time. It is the moment. But what about the order of things? You may say there's nothing to do with me. Then what's it got to do with the next minister that comes? And what's it got to do with any itinerant that comes, if you start with one? It's concerning the state of the sanctuary. You may say that I this afternoon am speaking to place. Well, if the Lord is leading me, I'm not. But if I'm in my own spirit, I am. And I hope that the Lord will lead you to judge. Now this sanctuary, now just remember how sacred it is. Remember the things and dwell on the things that a sanctuary implies. As I said, as regard the soul, try to get our priorities right. The real value of things, the importance, the solemnity. You say, well, what has that got to do with us here? Well, now, just a moment. Are you watching? You watching? Are you watching for the health of those that assemble? Are you watching for the life that you hope? Do you hope? Is in the congregation? Are you watching for the life that you hope is in the church? And to turn it around the other way, are you watching for the life and the behavior of the deacons? You see? All these things I speak in love. I want you to believe it. Why should I have any other motive? No. I speak in these because I do feel it's my duty. And if it's my duty, I cannot but speak it in love and care. Now the reason is this. I'm trying as enabled to see how it should really be in the sanctuary where God dwells. There should be life. And where there's that life, there is not a sitting down in sleep, and I don't mean literally, I mean spiritually, because you can spiritually sleep, and you can sleep your years away. Now concerning the sanctuary, until the Lord awakes, until the Lord brings into exercise, until the Lord comes along, even as he did to his disciples. Do you want him to say, sleep on and take your rest? Or do we need the Lord to say, awake? There should be not the slothfulness. There should not be the carelessness. There should be the loving concern. That's what there should be. What for? The sanctuary. Right. God would never come into a place, a chapel or church, that had no souls. Would he? And even if he condescended to come into a place where all were dead, remember this, where there's souls he can bring resurrection. He can say live. Yes. And he can come into this place where there may be those who are spiritually dead in tradition and years of coming, and he can go and say live. So look for the life. Look for the sign of God's work in the sanctuary. This is for the deacons. It is for the church. And why exclude the congregation? I mustn't get too close, I suppose. I remember one case. I'm getting rather close now. Where there was a certain case in the seat, sitting, that had the exercise of baptism. And that came to pass. And after that, there was the exercise of the ministry. And the church knew and felt nothing of it. The church, not the congregation. But one in the pulpit, one in the congregation who was not in the church, was given the watchfulness and the ears that were open to the ministry, that went home to another certain one and said, do you know there's someone there exercised with a ministry? Otherwise there would not have been the preaching in the sermon that there was. But the church slept on. Now, who had the glory of being awake? When I say glory, I don't mean to say any glory as far as it goes in man. But you know, in a true sanctuary, a true living church, there is a certain amount of glory to the church when it sends forth the Lord's servants. And there is a certain amount of glory in and to the church because it is a kind of, oh, excuse the expression, rubbing off of some of the glory of Christ in where he dwells in a church when there is the life and the watching and the coming to pass of the things that do him honor and glory. So where is the glory in a dead church? Where is the glory to Christ, who is the author of life, where there is no life? I'm speaking out of the sanctuary. And no thought is going on like this. So, are you watching? Right. You might say, what do we watch for? Well, you should know. You should know. In the first place, you watch for souls. You watch for the signs of quickening. You watch for the signs of the souls being fed. You want to watch for the signs. Never mind the gossip. Just enough of this. You want to watch for those things where it says, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. That's what he watched for. You know, it's not always these it sounds, perhaps, but reading through it, a discerning deacon, a discerning minister or pastor, they should at times have a little idea what some were speaking about when they go along in twos and threes. You're not going to talk about mischievous things about one another, are you? I know we do sometimes. You're not going to talk about the latest gossip in the denomination. That won't bring profit. No. You want to watch and try to have a right discernment that as they go, they are speaking about the things the Lord has done for their souls. That's what you want to watch for. So that you might think, ah, well, I believe there's something in those two. I believe there's something that binds them together. I believe they're a little bit like those as they walked and their hearts burned within them when Christ appeared. Did not their hearts burn within us in the way? Yes. I believe last Lord's Day, as their friends here now up in Essex, I was speaking about Jim Funnel. One of their friends here knows him. I saw Jim Friday. Yes, friends, that one I went with. Knit together like this, Jim and I were. And preaching last Friday, went home to his house at Friday evening. Oh, I thought, Jim, I wonder how long it's going to be before you're gone. I didn't like, that is, physically speaking, like the look of him. I thought, he won't be long. And then he'd be gone. And there be one less that you can converse with spiritually. Now, where's the others that are coming along? You see? As their friend knows here, there was one dear soul not long ago now in heaven. though we didn't see all that much of, really and truly, there's something that knitted us together. Oh, yes. You see, those who are rich, some are here now, know what I say is the truth, but gone. And we lose. And I lose. I believe I'll lose that dear woman's prayers. And the poorer. Now, where are those that are going to follow on? Right. Is there going to be none? Now, you see, these are the things that a living church and a living ministry should watch for. The following on. What is the use otherwise? You'll just, as it were, be used to preach a few last, the remnant, into heaven and no continuing. Oh, I know there's a certain number. Don't let us rest on that. Say, well, what can we do about it? This again is slothfulness and fatalism. No. You know, the sanctuary is part of the glory of Christ. You ever thought of it? Now, where are you and where am I in this sanctuary? Oh, you say, I am just one of the congregation. Just one of the congregation. Oh, I'm not a deacon, I'm just a member. Oh, I'm not a minister, I'm just a deacon. Yes, and so you come up this so-called place of a minister. You know, I don't rely anything on any merit with this. Because, you see, the Lord sent forth labourers. Not just preachers. Not speakers. You get some people, they say, well, Mr. Santo is a speaker next Lord's Day. And perhaps that's all he does. You see, the real thing is to have a labourer. That's the real thing. I can't do it in my own strength. You know that. And I know it better than you. But a labourer, that is one who labours for souls to the honour and glory of God. Now, what about this place? What am I labouring for? Deny. Well, my thoughts and some of my desires, as you may have gathered this morning, are being toward the younger children, the young ones. They'll be the lambs if their labours are blessed. I know that the Lord can quicken them wherever they are. That's the point. What a mercy to be quickened in God's hands. What a mercy to be quickened under the ministry. Yes. That'll be a sanctuary. I said last Friday in Uckfield. I said, I believe, if not deceived. Here we go again. I hope. Yes, never mind. That was the very place where I first got a little glimmer of hope. From being shut up in the law work. The first place. A little hope. Who can tell? After weeks and perhaps months of being shut up. For any sign of mercy from God. And nearly persuaded by self and the devil that you'll finish up in everlasting destruction. See, like the wicked we were speaking about this morning. Now that made that a sanctuary to me. That's the point. Now, this should be your sanctuary. I know we move around, and I don't know where I should finish, and I'm getting old, and I want the Lord to make it plain. And I know I can't move without him. No? So do we just move, or have we been led? I'm very cautious on this. And sometimes I wonder, Lord, will it ever come right what I think? Or am I wrong? See? I don't know yet where to be buried. Oh, there's nothing worked out for where this wretched body will be laid. Because I cannot move until the Lord says, this is the way, walk in it. See? So relative to these things, there's got to be a watching. And there's got to be a praying. And then there's got to be a following. And then the Lord will say, this is the way, walk in it. And then you'll feel his blessing and his presence and his nearness. Well, to come back as an able to little of this text, until I went into the sanctuary of God. That's what makes it. Now, then again, back to this church here as the time is going on. Now, where's the fruit? Are you praying for fruit? Are you expecting any fruit? Have you made provisions for any fruit? You say, what do you mean fruit? You know if you're called by grace, if you're exercised, if you're in the right place, whether it's under here, up here, down there, wherever you are, you know, you should know the fruit, the following on from the preaching. What's a good with no fruit? See? Do you listen from what comes from this pulpit? Now then, have you ever had baptism preached? You know, I'm not here often. You know what the Lord's servants bring. You know where there's a following on in these things. And by this you should listen to the ministry, and that should cause you to not just think, there's a mercy if it does, but to consider. Before I was in the ministry, in the church in which I was, and been exercised with the ministry for many years, I thought, well, if this is right, and not of the devil, and not of me, it'll come up in the ministry. Has your case come up? And it came up, and it came up, and it came up, until I could bear it no longer. I sat in that place, the seat there, and I went as red as that, almost that carpet. Because I thought, well, he's found me right out, and time again. You see? And you didn't know how to bear it. And what about you? Has your case come up in the sanctuary? And if your case has come up, and it's come up, and it's come up, and remember, it's not just one pastor. It wasn't in my case. You get one man bring it, another man bring it, and they know anything what's in your soul. So it comes up, and it comes up, and it comes up, and does the church sleep? I know this. If your case comes up and up and up, you won't be able to sleep, even if all the rest do. No, you won't. And I'll tell you why. Because you're living. Because you're alive. That's why. You see? Now, what a solemn thing for a place to have the name of a sanctuary, and to be called a sanctuary, and to go under the name or heading of a sanctuary, or the law, or the place where the truth is preached, not the, and with power. What a solemn thing to have a name, and to find there's life in it, and you never knew it, because these things go on, and it's no glory to the church. Yes, so I've gone on to some of them, haven't I? I wonder why. Right, now you might say, well, what can we do about this? Well, one or two things. I want you to pray about this, deacons, church members. I want you to pray about this sermon. I want you to pray that the Lord will show you, the Lord will take you in hand and lead you and show you plainly the way to take. And from this day forth, if there's life and there's exercise in this church or congregation, and that does not bring this place honor and glory, the blood will not be on my head. Now, I spoke very solemnly, haven't I? And you might say, yes, and you've taken a lot on. I have. I know. But why? Is it empty air? Is it empty words? Is it beat in the air? Is there nothing here? This should make you think. Now, then, what about in the sanctuary? Those that have life. Oh, you say, yeah, we've all got life. That's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking for. Is there a mother in Israel in this place? See? There's been two little children, thanks be to God, given, carried, brought forth, and living. And there's the arms to carry, and there's the mother and father, and the grandparents. See, that's natural. What about spiritual? You know, the lady I spoke of, I believe there is a mother in Israel who's gone to heaven. Yes, that's the point. But what's left? Is there a mother in Israel here? Is there one praying for souls? It need not necessarily be a woman. A travail for souls, is there? I'm not saying there is. It's very different. I'm saying, is there? Is there one? I will tell you this. If there's 20 people in this chapel, there may be 19, not know. But if there's one that's a mother in Israel, they know. Because they are travail for souls. They won't sleep. Oh no. And they are travail, and there's got to be a bringing forth. Yes. Oh, I know another one miles from here now, who I believe travailed for a certain church, and a bringing forth. And her prayers were answered. See? Where's the travail? In the sanctuary. We might say, well, it's all of God. Of course it is. But this is what you want to work. You want to look for the sign of his working. I'm not saying that it's free will that causes a mother in Israel to have this travail. No, that's God's work that causes that one to have this travail. That's a sign of God's work. And this is the point. You might say it doesn't seem much like the gospel. Ah, this is how God's house should be. Now then, when this is made straight, then you can look for the signs of the gospel. then you can look for the prosperity. Not in the money boxes, the prosperity in the church. This is the point. This is how it should be, isn't it? Then you can look for, you say, well, there's health, there's life, the living, the praying, the watching, the waiting, the longing. Yes. And they'll be the ones to rejoice. Oh, yes. They'll be the ones to rejoice. Well, now, what about these, as we say? I'll leave it here soon. Those who are living. Well, see, they're waiting. They've got life. They know where they are. Oh, yes, they do. You're not going to tell me they don't. They've got this life. They know where they are. And they know this. They know that they dare not go before the Lord. That's the point. And I don't believe they will. Because if so, let's come back. So where they're living, there's a tenderness, and they listen. Oh, I can just see this. And perhaps if there's two together in this, two together. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to be a togetherness in the things of God. You may not say very much to one another, but it'll be like this. I wonder what we should get today. You're going to the sanctuary, and you wonder what you get today. Oh, they say, Mr. So-and-so's coming, we know a little bit what we get. Oh, yes, I've been like this. But when there's that right exercise, I wonder what we should get today. And they're waiting on the Lord. They don't always know quite how to pray. But I'll tell you the attitude. Oh, I'll tell you the attitude. If your prayer lasts 20 minutes or a second, I will tell you the attitude. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. That's the attitude. And when the Lord speaks, the servant hears. And when the servant hears, thou made willing. Are those the steps? Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Are you waiting? Hey. Or are you sleeping? Well, I'll just give you a few more minutes. Are you disappointed? Have you made a mistake? Do you think you'll have to move? Do you think you'll have to stay? Well, I don't know what hymn we're finishing with today, but I know what hymn we finished with last Sunday. And so does someone here.